Well, the Edmonton Police Service has been in the hot seat over the past couple of days, and it comes following a video that was made public of an incident between an officer and a woman. It was recorded, I think, last Thursday. The 12-second video recorded the interaction between a woman and an Edmonton Police Service member on 100th Street between 105th and 106th Avenues. Now, according to both the person who took the video and Edmonton Police, two women on the street across from the Hope Mission were having an argument when police were flagged down. Police say the woman was armed with a knife. She refused to drop it and attempted to walk away from the officer. And that is when she was shoved from behind by the officer and fell to the ground. EPS said the knife in question was seized and the woman was arrested for possession of a weapon dangerous to the public. Well, the video quickly made the rounds on the internet, resulting in a lot of questions and some outrage about what some believe was excessive use of force by the officer. Now, I can tell you that EPS have now decided against laying any charges, saying intoxication was considered a factor in the incident and there was no willing complainant in the case. I want to get into it a whole lot more with Staff Sergeant Mike Elliott, who is the president of the Edmonton Police Association. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jaylene. Appreciate
All right. I have so many questions for you on this one. In this situation, when there was allegedly a knife in the hand, there was claims of a gang affiliation. The person in question was walking away from the officer. What were the options open to the officer in that moment?
Okay. And it's only, first you said allegedly. I can tell you that there was a knife in her possession. So, yes, the officer was flagged down. There was an argument, and there was a potential fight going on, and she did have a knife. Member rolled up, uses air horn to try to dissuade it, stepped outside, did verbal demands for her to drop the knife, of which she refused. So then she walks. So the options comes up, what is the member going to do? So the member is going to go, do I let her walk? And she potentially takes a knife and stabs somebody else, especially given there was a homicide in Edmonton about a week and a half ago with a knife. And I think about the terrible homicides that occurred in Saskatchewan like just a month prior. So you could let her walk and potentially stab somebody or get in a fight with somebody. On the use of force, he's going to go, she has a knife. Am I going to pull my guns? If he uses firearm, he's going to get a complaint out of that. If he has a taser, he could pull his taser, he'll get a complaint out of that. He could go use his baton and hit her with it, with which he'll get a complaint out of that. Or he can go hands-on, of which he could probably get cut or killed himself. So what he deciphered in his mind was to give a push. And you can tell by the video, the push was effective because she went down, the knife was dropped, and she was taken into custody. Now, does it look pretty? No, it doesn't look pretty, but use of force isn't pretty. And we don't go in there. This is not the movies. This is not, Hollywood to do such things. So I just want to let you know that he had a number of options. And on the use of force of what he could have done, this was extremely low. Like I said, it doesn't look pretty, but extremely effective.
Is shoving something that is taught in police recruit school as a way of handling a situation, of de-escalating something?
Well, you have a number of options that are available when it comes to the training, right? So you look at things, because you look at how he did this. So what was the first thing he did? Police presence. Police presence showed up, right? And you look at use of force as options. Presence. See what presence can do. Presence stopped the fight, but it didn't stop with a weapon. He chirped his horn, right, to try to get her attention, mm-hmm. get her stopped. Didn't work. What was next? Verbal direction. Verbal direction didn't work. So what's next? Well, let's go hands-on. Well, he's not going to go hands-on. Because of he could probably get injured himself. So, but he, I'll say that could have used a taser, could have used a baton, could have let her walk away, but then he goes, well, what do I do in this situation? Because what if she goes harm somebody mm-hmm, else? And the mm-hmm. complaint's going to come back and go, you knew it, she had a knife, and you let her walk away, and she went and injured somebody. Why didn't you stop that? So going physical in this aspect did work. And when I say going physical, it was a push. Some will go use a leg sweep. Some will say, I will try to get an arm bar, try to do a takedown. But like I said, going with the arm bar puts the member in the position with the knife, and that's dangerous to him.
The president of the Edmonton Police Association joining me this afternoon, Staff Sergeant Michael Elliott. I know that there was some comments made about the discrepancy in size between the woman and the police officer, and this was just one of the comments that was made. I think it was by Judith Gale, the leader of the Bear Clan Beaver Hills House group, says it was gross behavior from a civil servant, especially to one of our most vulnerable, a small little woman who was actually walking away, and she had her back turned on him and therefore wasn't expecting a hit of that magnitude. When it comes to size differences between the perpetrator and the officer, does that come into play at all when trying to de-escalate a tense situation, Mike?
Size is going to matter. So you have somebody holding an edged weapon. It doesn't matter if that person is 4'11" or 6'8". They're holding an edged weapon, which can be used to kill somebody. And so that is the number one concern when you approach somebody with an edged weapon. And we can bring up studies to show how quickly things can turn with somebody with an edged weapon and how they can probably harm or unfortunately could kill someone.
Criminal defense lawyer Tom Engel saying today that police need to be held accountable and saying that an ACERT investigation with this case would take too long. Instead, wants the police commission to call for a public inquiry. Do you believe a public inquiry is necessary?
Mr. Engel can go off on his rhetoric, and but that's fine. But a public inquiry, it's not needed, because if there were something here that met the situation where ACERT had to get involved and met the criteria, ACERT would get involved. If there's information comes to light that requires an investigation, either, you know, a complaint can be submitted to the professional standards branch for an investigation, or if it does, like it's meet the criteria, ACERT could step in as well, or, you know, the Minister of Justice can order an outside agency to come in and do an investigation. But there's nothing to indicate with such, and the commission can do what they wish. They have, it's their prerogative, and they can do that. But at this juncture, there's nothing there that would indicate that an investigation is required.
Stuff, Sergeant Elliott, I know that, you know, things are challenging for, you know, on the streets, you know, especially in downtown Edmonton recently or over the past couple of years. Do incidents and interactions like this make things even more difficult on both sides? I know you can only speak from the police's side, but I'm guessing that it could challenge relationships and any work that's being built up to try to alleviate the situations.
Yeah, well, our members are doing a heck of a job in the downtown core with the building relationships with the help unit, with the beat officers, and they make, because I believe the beat program is the best thing that's out there, because you have public interactions on a daily basis. You get to know the people in your community. You get to know your stakeholders. You get to know your business owners. You know, you get to know the vulnerable people. But unfortunately, when violence occurs, and it's sad to say, but Edmonton is, unfortunately, if you look at the statistics across the country, it can be a violent city, and the stats show that. But that's an unfortunate occurrence that when this happens, when there's violence occurs, we have to step in and take control of the situation. As I said previously, it doesn't look pretty, but it was extremely effective, and no one was hurt in this, fortunately.
Mike, over the years, I know there's been a lot of calls, especially in the past number of days, suggesting that Edmonton police officers need to be wearing body-worn cameras. We know that there was a body-worn video pilot project done by the EPS years back. Like, I think it ran from 2011 to 2014. And among the results in it, it showed that there was no evidence from the pilot that it reduced use of force incidents. There had been talk, or there has been swirling talk, that this is something that, you know, police services across the country should be doing. Is there any talk moving forward that this could be something that we see within Edmonton Police?
Well, I can tell you the Edmonton Police Association has always supported the idea of bringing in body-worn cameras. We think they can be very effective in investigations, criminal investigations, police act complaints, where they can help clear members and exonerate them and clear complaints, especially frivolous complaints. On the second part, there's about 30 studies out there right now that show that body-worn cameras do not change behavior of a member or subjects that they encounter. Now, with that being said, if the public perception is that they need body-worn cameras, bring in body-worn cameras, because if perceptions can become reality. In addition, so I know I called upon a couple of city councilors to put a motion forward to, you know, provide the funding to bring in the body-worn cameras. But it's not just as easy as purchasing a camera, because when you purchase it, it's okay, you got to bring the storage, you got to do the training.
You
got to store it for at least years for criminal, at least a year for police act, and the retention of that. And when are you going to vet that information for civil liberties? I think there was an article came out of BC yesterday to try to bring in body-worn cameras, and the BC civil liberties did not like the idea because it was a breach of too many of their civil liberties for people that are being filmed. But in essence, I support body-worn cameras in that. We always have here from the association.
Need the money to do it, though, without a doubt. All right, Staff Sergeant Michael Elliott, the president of the Edmonton Police Association, joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha, the president of the Edmonton Police Association. And I'll just go on record saying I believe that that police officer did the right thing in that moment, without a doubt.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.